Let us read those mantras of second section. Hope first section mantra you are able to memorize. Tadetat satyam mantreshu karmani kavayo yanya pasyan tanitretayam bahudha santatani yanya tanyacharatha niyatam satyakamaha yeshavav pantha sukrutasya loki. Yadale lihyate hyarchihi samiddhehavyavahane tadajyabhagavantarena ahutihi pratipadayet yasyagnihotramadarshamapornamasam achaturmasyam anagrayanam atithivarjitam cha ahutam avaishvadevam avidhinahutam asaptamam stasya lokanhinasti. Okay, in this third mantra, second mantra, Upanishad introduced Agnihotra Yajna, Agnihotra Karma. And third mantra, briefly it says how Agnihotra must be performed. But what is the significance of stating these two mantras? Upanishad does not definitely expect us to perform Agnihotram ritual. But what is emphasized here is that one must understand the importance of Nishkama Karma, otherwise said to be Vihitam Karma, the prescribed duties enjoined by the Shastram. But one must follow Pancha Maha Yajnas, one must live a life of Karma Yoga. Just by mentioning this discipline of performing the Agnihotram Karma, what Upanishad implies is that one must live strictly a life of Karma Yoga. Whether you perform Agnihotram Karma or not, if a person lives a life of Karma Yoga, understands the Karma Yoga, understand the discipline of Karma Yoga, if a person lives a life of Karma Yoga, it is as good as performing the Nitya Agnihotra. And in order to, again, living a life of Karma Yoga involves whether it is practical, possible for all of us nowadays, even for people who are living in India, to strictly follow the rules laid down by the Shastra. Definitely, we can follow one thing, it is Pancha Maha Yajnas. Living a life of Karma Yoga is possible. And we will make all possible efforts to live a life of Karma Yoga if we have Purushartha Nischeha and if our commitment is to the pursuit of knowledge. And to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, of course, we should know the value of knowledge. Then, okay, living a life of Karma Yoga also implies what? Following Pancha Maha Yajnas in one's life strictly. Why should one follow Pancha Maha Yajnas? Because by performing Pancha Maha Yajnas, even the word Yajna literally means a fire ritual. One has to kindle the fire, one has to offer oblations, recite mantras, invoke the grace of devatas. Means it is so much, we don't understand exactly how fire should be kindled, what mantras should be recited, which devatas should be invoked, whose grace should be invoked, how many times should you recite the mantra, which mantra should be uttered, and what oblation should be offered, we have no clue. Therefore, just by introducing this one ritual called Agnihotram Karma, what Upanishad indirectly or definitely explicitly emphasizes is that one must live a life of contribution. One must live a life of contribution means one can avoid being a mere consumer. In order to avoid being a mere consumer, one must choose deliberately to live a life of contribution. The contribution again is in the form of Panchamaha Yajnas. That is what without being forced by the government, without being instructed by respective officers in charge, we ourselves voluntarily, consciously, thoughtfully become the contributors. If we follow Panchamaha Yajnas, and there Deva Yajna, I'm not elaborating on this, simply I'm going to make it very quickly. Deva Yajna, worship of Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena known as Devatas. Every day, what should you do for that? We must express our gratitude to Bhagavan. There must be thoughtfulness. We must thoughtfully expressing one's gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of all Devatas. For all that we are blessed with in life. We are blessed with so many things in life. We are blessed with the food, blessed with the good water, blessed with good environment, blessed with the home, blessed with good parents, blessed with good education, blessed with good health, first of all, good health. Okay, blessed with good eyesight, good ear power, all that. So expressing our gratitude to Bhagavan for all that we are blessed with is actually Deva Yajna, Nitya Puja. And also to neutralize the papam we accumulate. But unknowingly, by doing something unknowingly or sometimes unavoidably. We incur some papams. How we're walking on the roadside, the no intention of killing an ant, but we do sometimes. Unintentionally, unavoidably, sometimes we do some papa karma to neutralize the papams of those papa karma also. We try our best not to harm, but in spite of that, sometimes we do, to ward off those ill effects of unknowingly, unavoidably in papa karma also. Also express our gratitude to Bhagavan in whom of all devatas for having blessed us with everything that we need to live our lives. Basic needs, the food, shelter and clothing. For that, we must so much indebted to all the natural phenomena in the world, and each phenomenon, every phenomena is bowed to with great reverence as Devata, as manifestation of Bhagavan. Every phenomenon is manifestation of Ishvara. That's why any Devata you bow to, you're actually bowing to Bhagavan. Okay, this is Deva Yajna. Then we also have Manushya Yajna. Deva Yajna, then Manushya Yajna. Not only we bow to the natural Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena, acknowledging their contribution for our well-being. And this is, then with this Manushya Yajna means, how I can contribute in return to Bhagavan for all that Bhagavan has given me. So by serving Bhagavan in the form of fellow human beings. How can I serve Bhagavan in the form of fellow beings? Doing the needful. When they are in trouble, you cannot go out of track to do what is not possible for you. Within our own limits, whatever is possible to the best of my ability, whatever I can do, if I do, I can give. It can be in the form of giving food, it can be in the form of giving clothing, it can be in the form of giving talk with some nice words. So help can be given to fellow human beings who are in need. Even some kind words, sometimes thoughtfully one can be of help to fellow human beings. This is Manushya Yajna. The third is, as a contribute, time is given, energy is given, need not be only anything. It's also seva. Okay. That's what sometimes, you see, Krishna Jina, sometimes they go to different places to do medical camps, conduct medical camps. And they not just, they don't only seva, they also talk to people. So, and they try their best to give some medications, help. So all manishya yagya. Then thirdly we have, so deva yagya, manishya yagya. Thirdly we have bhuta yagya. Not only we contribute, how do we contribute? Not that we contribute. Whatever Bhagavan has given us, that what has been received from Bhagavan is given in return to Bhagavan in the form of other living beings. We can never give anything to Bhagavan. I told you many times before already. We only return a little bit of what Bhagavan has given us. We should only share what Bhagavan has given us with other beings. So not only human beings, we are also conscious of other living beings. So devatas, when you say all non-living natural phenomena, then human beings, now all other living beings, bhuta yajnaha, right from ant, except coronavirus. Corona also we invoke, now COVID also, we say devata. So all the living beings which are harmless, without doing any harm to us, they're living there. Okay? And what do? We also don't harm them without causing any pain, inflicting any pain purposely, causing any pain to any living being. So if consciously, if you feed the crows, we feed some animals, if possible. We are not expected to go and feed animals and tigers in the jungles, no. So, bhuta yajna means contributing for the survival of other non-harmful living creatures around us. Non-harmful, okay? Contributing for the survival of the non-harmful living creatures around us. At least you don't need to give anything. No, at least we don't kill them, don't cause any pain to them, don't inflict pain to them. It's all bhuta. It means there must be tremendous reverence for every other living creature, considering it that its life is as significant as your life. Don't let us not take any life for granted. When we are not, we think our life is so significant. Every living creature's life is as significant as yours. Whether you can give something to those beings or not, at least see that we don't inflict any pain to them. Conscious of not inflicting any pain upon any of those beings. Okay? This is bhuta yajna. I can go on and on, but I'm not going to elaborate it. Then next we have this bhuta pitru yajna. This Pitru Yajna is worshipping Bhagavan in the form of, first we saw worshipping Bhagavan in the form of all natural forces revered as devatas. Then worshipping Bhagavan, all worship Bhagavan, worshipping Bhagavan in the form of human beings by doing the needful, understanding the, doing the evil with presence of mind. Then worshipping Bhagavan in the form of all other living beings. Now, worshipping Bhagavan in the form of our own ancestors who lived here before, now who are not with the physical body, but who are still surviving. And here, whether devatas or other, whether devatas expect anything from us or not, still we do it. Similarly, here also, whether Pitrus do not expect, but still, Pitru Yajna is very important. And say, Amma Vasya Tarpanam, on a new moon day, satisfying elders, offering oblate, offering, you don't have to specify, there's certain rituals are there, whether you can do it or not, at least first of all, being respectful to elders, whether they give us any wealth or not, be respectful to them, and until the last breath, as long as I am alive, I must be conscious of looking after, taking care of my elderly parents. Okay, my brother will take care of, I don't need to care. Okay, exactly, little Siddharth comes and listens. that, no, Anuj comes and listens. So what I'm saying, that I must take care of my parents. And then definitely paying, that's also Pitriyajna. Pitriyajna not only after death. Generally Pitriyajna is performing Shraddham, performing Shraddham, and also worshipping ancestors who are no more with us, because expressing our gratitude to those parents and grandparents and elders or ancestors in the family who have contributed for today whatever we are. This Pitriyajna. Okay, there's a Varshika Tithi, early, once in a year, we worship on the day of departure. Every month on the day of departure, we worship Masika Tithi. And full, every new moon day, and thinking of, see, parents are alive, no worries. If they know, I'm talking about people who lost parents. And definitely Amavasya day, you must think of the ancestors and at least feed crows. If you can't feed crows in other countries, at least, you know, there must be worship of ancestors. This Pitru Yajnaha. Then finally, Dev Rishi Yajnaha, otherwise said to be Brahma Yajnaha. Brahma Yajnaha, see they said, you can elaborate each Yajna widely, but I'm not just doing it. Brahma Yajna, the Veda Shastram is also known as Brahma. Veda Shastram is known as Brahma. Brahma means reality. Brahma means the Ishvara. And the Brahma also means Veda Shastram. The Brahma Yajna means having great reverence for Veda Shastram and contributing for studying the Shastram. If you cannot study, at least contributing or preserving the Shastram, okay, by helping the students who are studying with the Shastram. This is Brahma Yajna. Otherwise called Rishi Yajna. Because how are we going to pay our debts back to Rishis who have preserved these teachings, the Shastram, to Sampradaya in the Dini by, and who have given, handed over to us today? Only by studying. If I had to pay my debts back to Rishis, if I study, that is enough. My studying itself is contributing back for the, for preserving the Shastram. I may express my gratitude towards the Rishis. This is Rishi Yajna. Studying Bhagavad Gita, studying Upanishads, studying, it's all Brahma Yajna. Now what is happening is Brahma Yajna only. It's all yajna. Like this, Panchamaha Yajnas one must follow. If a person is given to the study of this Shastram, definitely the person repeatedly becomes exposed to the understanding of the importance of Dharma. Thereby, one will be able to live a life of Dharma. One will develop his own sensitivity. So one will become subtler and subtler mentally. Thereby, a person becomes much more refined. See, this is the only way of converting one's gross mind into a refined mind. How can a person become a person of refined personality? Only by living the way of life enjoined by the Shastra. To emphasize this, here Upanishad just introduced one ritual called Agnihotram. So do not worry, oh, I cannot perform Agnihotram, don't worry about all those things. Okay, I want to tell you this. Now let us move on to, and I said, and this Agnihotram karma also is not simply being only one ritual. It must be performed, practiced, but the Agnihotram ritual must be followed along with the other rituals also. Other worship, ritual means worship here. There is a puja performed on Amavasya, puja performed on a new moon day, full moon day. And the puja performed before the time of harvesting. Like there's so many rituals are there. We have already seen elaborately all that. Remember, we have seen all of them. Only if all of them are followed, then the Agnihotram ritual performed will be effective. Atithi Varjitam. Okay, when my guest comes, I don't even care. I have no respect for the guest. But if I perform Agnihotram karma, means my Agnihotram karma will be of no use. Because there's no Manushya Yajna. every day I don't worship at all. Only I perform Agnihotram karma. But there's no way of no respect for the elements. I don't respect, I don't consider other lives as important as my life. If there's no, so anagrayanam, ahutam, avidinahutam, atithi varjitam, so adarsham, apurnamasam, anagrayanam, if the ritual is performed without following other rituals, then it will not be effective. Not only it will not be effective, it will destroy even the punyam is going to come for 7 generations. Okay, which we have already understood. Asaptaman lokan hinasti. Let's go to the next mantra. I'm going to read this next third mantra first. Yasyagnihotramadarshamapurnamasam achaturmasyam managrayanam atithivarjitancha ahutamavaishvadevam avidhinahutam asaptamam stasya lokan hinasti. So I elaborately explained this mantra already. So just I want to say how this ritual, if without following all these rituals, the person performs Agnihotram also, it becomes as if a person has not performed any of the Panchamahayajnas. So without performing all this, a person performs, then what happens? That is why that without performing these rituals, that without alone is implied by this nyang tatpa, nyang, means apurnamasam, achaturmasyam, anagrayanam, atithivarjitam. Atithivarjitam, there's no a, okay? Varjitam, the word varjitam stands for a. Anagrayanam, all this. Then what happens? There is a violation. The non-contributive consumer. A person becomes a non-contributive consumer. The person who does not follow Panchamaha Yajnas becomes a non-contributive consumer. In the same way here, a person who performs, who avoids all these rituals, and that person also becomes the violator of law. The violator of law, the person who violates the law, incurs papam, sin known as pratyavaya papam, pratyavaya dosha. And a pratyavaya dosha, the sin, the papam earned as a result of violating the law, in terms of pratyavaya dosha, will destroy the following 7 generations. Asaptaman lokan asya hinasti. Please make a note. Lokan means, the word lokaha means world. The word lokaha means, sometimes just now we saw, beings living in the worlds. And the word loka also means the result of action. Okay, the result of action, the benefit of action, worlds and people living in the worlds. All of them are meant by this one word loka. But lokan hinasti means the improperly performed Agnihotram karma to the exclusion of all other rituals results in accumulating the pratyavaya papam because of the violation of the rules also. What happens? Not only the person does not get the punyam, he will incur papam also, okay? That way it will destroy all his karma palams. Destroy the punyam which is going to come for 7 more generations. it's going to destroy the best of things he can enjoy and follow in his janmas also. So loka here means seven janmas, and otherwise he is going to destroy the punyam of seven more janmas. He's going to destroy the punyam, a person has and enjoy following seven generations of punyam. It will destroy. Therefore, to free oneself from accumulating the pratyavaya papam, which will destroy the punyam of seven generations, destroy the seven generations of punyam. Thus, one must live a life of karma yoga involving panchamaha yajnas. This is the teaching we need to get from this mantra. Is it clear? Clear or not? Okay. Let us read the next mantra now. Very simple mantra comes. Kali karali cha mano javacha. Kali karali mano javacha. Sulohitaya cha sudhumra varna. Sulohitaya cha sudhumra varna. Sulohitaya cha sudhumra varna. Sphulingini Vishwaruchi cha devi. Lelayamana iti sapta jihvaha. Kali karali cha mano javacha. Kali karali cha mano javacha. Sulohita yacha sudhumra varna. Sphulingini Vishwaruchi cha devi. Lelayamana iti sapta jihvaha. Kali karali cha mano javacha. Sulohitaya cha sudhumra varna. Sphulingini Vishwaruchi cha devi. Lelayamana iti sapta jihvaha. So here, repeat again. Kali karali cha mano javacha. Sulohitaya cha sudhumra varna. Sphulingini Vishwaruchi cha devi. Lelayamana iti sapta jihva. This is the fourth mantra of the second mundaka. The second section of first mundaka. Now, as let us not forget, first mundaka Upanishad introduced paravidya and aparavidya. But now the whole section, second section of first mundaka, is dedicated only for discussing, elaborating on aparavidya only. Therefore, you will not find very interesting things, but definitely you are getting very important information you need to know. To have the understanding of the core teaching of the Veda Shastra. Okay. In this mantra here, Upanishad discusses about the Agnikaryam. Agnikaryam means a fire ritual. A ritual performed kindling the fire is what Agnikaryam. And Agnikaryam, when this ritual is performed kindling the fire, for what? Invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of devatas, natural phenomena. A fire ritual. So Upanishad discusses here in this mantra, performance of a fire ritual in order to invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of any natural phenomenon known as devata. Therefore, performance of fire ritual in order to invoke the grace of devata is called what? Deva yajnaha. We have substitute worship at home. We light a lamp, we recite some verses and offer some food, we do namaskaram. That is our Deva Yajna. But in Veda Shastra, Deva Yajna means the performance of a fire ritual. Okay. And please remember, immediately we should not get worked up. Oh my God, how can I perform fire ritual? Especially in London, impossible. You can't even light a lamp. I'm very conscious. Therefore, Shastram itself gives us the sanction that, now we have to understand, it is not very important. It is not at all compulsory to perform fire ritual. So that's why we have substituted our puja, we do lighting the lamp and chanting mantras and expressing our thanks intensely and offering some naivedyam, doing namaskaram is our, the possible practical Deva Yajna we've been following also. So we are, if you worship Bhagavan every day thoughtfully, thankful, expressing your thank gratitude, definitely that is Deva Yajna. But Upanishad in this mantra mentions about a fire ritual. And here, if a ritual is performed, certain in performing a ritual, there is a rule. A rule is laid. The rule is laid that oblations, whatever oblations, ahutis, we have to offer to any devata into the fire, and oblations must be offered only if the fire has many flames. Oblations must be offered only when the fire is kindled well, and when the fire is kindled well, the fire should not be smoky fire. Smoky fire. But the fire must be kindled well, that the fire must have many flames. Okay, don't forget that one of the rules which should be followed in performing a fire ritual is that oblation must be, any oblation offered must be offered only when the fire is kindled well, thereby when the fire has many flames. If the flames are not found, the fire is smoky without flames, then offering oblations is not correct. Okay, it's not correct. It becomes an improper yajna. In offering oblations into the smoky, flameless fire will be improperly done yajna. Then what happens if the yajna is improperly done, the oblations are offered into smoky fire without any flames, then that ritual will be a waste of time. Waste of time, waste of energy, waste of money in the form of ingredients offered. Why? Because it will not give any, it will, one cannot enjoy any benefit of performing that ritual. It will not give any phalam. And not only that, such a ritual, improperly performed ritual, improperly offered oblations into the smoky, flameless fire will also contribute for the environmental disturbance. In fact, ritual performed must contribute for the wellness, welfare of the environment, good of the environment. Instead of contributing for the environmental goodness, it will affect the, in fact, disturb the environment. Because the flameless, smoky fire when oblations into that fire, the oblations are offered, the more smoke will rise, and the more smoke will what? In fact, will pollute the atmosphere. Not only that, even the performer of the ritual and people who are sitting around the Yajnakunda, they will all be, they'll all be wiping their faces, wiping the tears coming out of their eyes. Okay, not also become dirty. The Yajna won't be clean Yajna. Therefore, the first important the rule Shastram says is, the fire must be kindled well. There must be many flames. And only then, when the flames are surging forth, then only oblations must be offered into the fire. And suppose, how to understand this? Upanishad beautifully, poetically presents here the different flames of the fire which can be seen during the performance of a ritual. And each flame of fire is known as jihwa, okay, tongue of the fire. Agni Bhagavan's, Agni Devata's tongue. Flame of fire is looked upon as Agni Bhagavan's tongue. Okay. And those tongues are, the different flames are give different names. What are they? It is here, said here. See, when the oblations are offered, naturally flames come up. The flames are already there. And the ghee is poured into the well-kindled fire. When the flames are there, again the flames come out. Much bigger flames become much bigger flames. Consuming the ghee offered, the flame becomes much bigger flame. And therefore, it seems Agni Bhagavan puts his tongue out. Okay? Agni Bhagavan puts his tongue out to consume the oblation as it were. So, it means Agni Bhagavan is prepared to receive the oblations either for himself or to carry them to other devatas, and readily waiting to receive all the oblations, putting out his, Agni Bhagavan's tongues in the room of flames. Okay. Now, the various tongues of flames of fire. Agni Bhagavan. So Upanishad says, Sapta Jihvaha, seven tongues. Agni Bhagavan has seven flames of seven tongues. Seven flames which are like seven tongues. Sapta Jihvaha. Eka Jihva, Dve Jihve. Okay. Tisraha Jihvaha, Chattasraha Jihvaha, Panch Jihvaha, Shad Jihvaha, Sapta Jihvaha. Seven tongues. Now it will take seven tongues. It means there are seven types of flames. Seven types of flames are always available for our experience when you perform a ritual. The fire is kindled well. So, hereafter, when you happen to, I don't know when you're going to have an opportunity to go to temple in London, whenever you happen to go to temple, or whenever you happen to see any performance of ritual, then see whether you're able to find all these flames of fire. Okay? First he says, Kali, see now, Kali, Karali, Chamano, Javacha. Number one, Kali. Number two, Karali. Number three, Manojava. Number four, Sulohita. Number five, Sudhumravarna. Number six, Pulingini. Vishwaruchi. Okay, Kali, కరాళి మనోజవ సులోహిత సుధూమ్రవర్ణ స్ఫులింగిని విశ్వరుచి. దేవి విశ్వరుచి, దీస్ ఆర్ ది సెవెన్ ఫ్లేమ్స్ అండ్ నోన సెవెన్ టంగ్స్ ఆఫ్ అగ్ని భగవాన్ లేలాయమానాహ. లేలాయమానాహ, లేలాయమానాహ మీన్స్ వాట్ నౌ? దే కమ్ కమ్ అవుట్ అండ్ మూవ్ ఫోర్త్. ది ఫ్లేమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్, సెవెన్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్లేమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్ విచ్ కమ్ అవుట్ అండ్ మూవ్ అబౌట్ ఇన్ ది హోమకుండ ఆర్ సప్తజిహ్వాహ. సెవెన్ టైప్స్ లేలాయమాన సప్తజిహ్వాహ. ఫస్ట్ కాళీ. కాళీ, యాక్చువల్లీ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ దేవి ఇస్ కాళీ బికాస్ ద దేవి, ప్లీజ్ రిమెంబర్ దేవి హూ ఇస్ ఇప్పుడు హూ ఇన్ హూ ఈస్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఫ్యాక్టర్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ కాళీ. కాలరూపేణ యా అస్తి సా కాళీ, భగవతి పరాశక్తి దేవి హూ ఈస్ ఇన్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఫ్యాక్టర్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ కాళీ. హూ హ్యాస్ మాస్టరీ ఓవర్ టైమ్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ కాళీ. బట్ హియర్ ద ఫ్లేమ్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్, అదర్వైజ్ టంగ్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ కాళీ. వై కాళీ? దేవి ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ పర్సానిఫైడ్ ఇట్ డార్క్, వెరీ డార్క్. సో డార్క్ బ్లాక్ ఫ్లేమ్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్ ఈస్ నోన్ యాజ్ డార్క్ టంగ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫైర్, బ్లాక్ ఫ్లేమ్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్. ఆ డార్క్ ఫ్లేమ్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్ ఈస్ లుక్డ్ అపాన్ యాజ్ ది డార్క్ టంగ్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్. ఓకే, నెక్స్ట్ కరాళీ. కరాళీ మీన్స్ ది ఫ్రైటనింగ్ ఫ్లేమ్. ఫ్రైటనింగ్ ఫ్లేమ్ మీన్స్ వాట్? ఫ్రైటనింగ్ ఫ్లేమ్ మీన్స్ వాట్? హౌ కెన్ ఫ్లేమ్ ఫ్రైటన్ యూ? ది ఫ్లేమ్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఫియర్స్ ఫ్లేమ్ దాట్ ఇట్ క్యాన్ రైజ్ వెరీ హై అండ్ ఇట్ క్యాన్ బి ఆఫ్ హై టెంపరేచర్. ది ఫ్లేమ్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్ విచ్ రైజెస్ వెరీ హై విత్ హై టెంపరేచర్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ కరాళీ. And therefore, because the flame rises very high and it is a very high temperature, it is said to be a fierce flame, frightening flame, karali. Then third one is manojava. The cha means and, the third one is manojava. Manojava. All sealing shabdas are used because the word is jihva is used. The tongue, jihwa, meaning tongue is a feminine gender words. Therefore, all these flames which are looked upon as tongues are also given in the name, all in feminine gender, mentioned in feminine, using feminine gender words. Okay, manojava, see kali, karali, all ikaranta stilinga shabdas. Now, manojava, javaha means speed. Javaha means javaha, visarga. Okay, javaha means speed. And manojava means the flame which is as fast as the mind in its movement. The flame which is of the speed of the mind, which moves as fast as the mind, is said to be manojava. I mean, what does it mean? You can't say exactly like a mind it moves. It's a very, very fast. See, mind is the swiftest of all the moving things. Nothing is as fast as the, as swift as the mind. Okay? Of all the moving things, mind is the most swift, most. And then you can say fastest in its movement, in its, therefore the far, the move, the flame which moves very fast is looked upon as, is said to be Manojava. Where does it move? Only within the Homakunda. Then, next, fourth one. Sulohitacha. Lohita, Rohit. Rohitaha, Lohitaha means red color. Rohitaha, Varnaha. Lohitaha means red color. Rohit and Lohit means red in color. And here, Sulohita. So the fire, the flame of the fire, which is of the deep red color, the flame of the fire, which is of the deep red color, is said to be the tongue of deep red color, Sulohita. Sulohita. You would have seen, noticed anything which is well burnt. And when you put a piece of wood in the fire, or even iron ball or something, it becomes completely hot. Okay, the wood becomes fiery wood. It is a deep red color. So the flame of deep red color is looked upon as the tongue of deep red color of the fire, Agni Bhagavan. Then next one, Sudhumra Varna Jihva. Dhumraha means smoke. Dhumra Varnaha means smoky color. Sudhumra Varna means the flame of fire which is of the smoky color. The flame of fire having the smoke, the color of the smoke. The flame of the fire having the color of the smoke. It's a flame of the fire, but it has the color of the smoke. It is not smoke. The flame having the smoke, color of the smoke is called Sudhumra Varna Jihva. A flame is called a tongue which is of the color of smoke. Then Spulingini. Spulingaha means spark. Spulingaha means spark. And Spulingin, that which has spark. Spulingini. See, fire is called Spulingin. That which has spark is called Spulingin. Masculine gender. In feminine gender, Spulingini. Agnihi Spulingin. Spulingi Agnihi. Spulingini Jihva. So, a particular flame of fire becomes the sparkling one. Okay? Sparkling one is what now? The crackling noise. A flame of fire contributing crackling noise with sparks. A flame of fire causing crackling noise with sparks is called what? Spulingini, looked upon as the sparkling tongue of fire. A particular flame of fire which has sparks cause, which looks fierce, which causes crackling noise, is known as Spulingini. It is possible for us to hear the sounds when really wood is burning. The next one. Last one, Sapta Jihva. You have seen 6 Jihvaha. 7th Jihva. Vishwaruchi. Vishwaruchi means, Vishwa means literally the universe. But here Vishwa means all. But Ruchi. Vishwaruchi is the name of the flame of the fire which burns which is blazing, highly brilliant, bright, blazing flame of the fire is said to be the blazing tongue of the fire known as Vishwaruchi. The word ruchihi means taste. Ruchihi here means color. Ruchihi also means color in some other context. Ruchihi, taste, ruchihi also means color. Vishwaruchi means a blazing, bright flame having many colors, different colors. Orange, red, yellow, very close colors. Blazing fire with different colors. Highly brilliant, blazing flame with different colors is called Vishwaruchi. And this Vishwaruchi alone is glorified as Devi. See, Devaha is a masculine gender word, which means the effulgent. So Devi Vishwaruchi means, Devi means effulgent. Devaha means effulgent. Okay. Effulgent means shining. Therefore, the highly effulgent, blazing, bright flame with the different colors is called Devi Vishwaruchi. These are the seven flames which are looked upon as seven tongues of Agni Bhagavan, Sapta Jihvaha. And all these flames must come out, must be moving about in the Yajna Kunda, the fire place. Until the smoke goes, until the fire burns well with its flames, one must be fanning the fire. Only then, when the flames come out, the performer is supposed to offer oblations into the fire and in a proper manner. And here, why always any, whichever ritual is performed, whichever devata is invoked, always Agni Bhagavan alone is kindled, because only into the fire we have to offer oblations. Whoever is the devata, oblations are offered only into the fire. Therefore, Agnihi is said to be Havyavahanaha. Havyavahanaha or Havirbhuk. Havirbhuk Devamukh Havyavahanaha. Three names are not mentioned here. I am just giving you these three names. Remember, Havirbhuk means eater of the Havis, oblations. Devamukh means mouth of Devas. Havyavahanaha means carrier of oblations. Agni Bhagavan has three different names, okay? Okay, some more names are there. I don't remember them all. They were all the names now. Havirbhuk. I remember sometimes, suddenly doesn't come to my mind. Havirbhuk means eater of oblations. Havyavahanaha, carrier of oblations. Devamukh means what? Mouth of Devas. All these names are there for Agni Bhagavan because you have to offer oblations only into the fire in order to be carried to other devatas. So Indraya Swaha, Vayave Swaha, Varunaya Swaha, Prajapataye Swaha, doesn't matter. Whichever devata is invoked, to whomever you offer oblations, all oblations have to be offered only into the fire. And Agni Bhagavan alone is the, like the postman, okay? carrier of oblations to different devatas. So Agni Bhagavan is supposed to take the oblations and distribute those, and then give those oblations to the respective devata invoked as instructed by the Veda mantras, as instructed in the Veda mantras. And even performing such a ritual is actually, and when ritual is performed with the proper attitude for Antakarna Shuddhi, one will enjoy the benefit of the ritual. One will also have the benefit of mental purification, because this performance of ritual also becomes the discipline of Karma Yoga. Please remember one thing. People somehow who, when they start listening to a little bit of Vedanta Shastram, and they come to know Jnanam is the only means of attaining moksha, then for which they have to do Shravanam. They come to know about all these things. And some people, somehow they get exposed to some different religious groups and start learning, practicing meditation. And all these people, suddenly, they make a wrong conclusion. Okay? Sometimes, because it's half-baked information, makes them what? Make wrong conclusions. And they think, oh, performing rituals is not important. In fact, they think it is very wrong. It's very, very ordinary thing. We are of different level. Only people of ordinary levels have to perform rituals. Means they really look down upon the performance of rituals. But we should not ignore rituals. You need not do all rituals, but definitely performance of any ritual. You suppose lighting the lamp, doing namaskaram, okay, reciting mantras, and okay, some offering flowers, offering akshata, and offering naivedyam. These are all small units of actions which constitute one act of worshipping. Just a yajna, it's a yaga. Therefore, we should not really think it is something unwanted, unnecessary, and it is something very inferior. No. All the customs we follow, the rituals we perform. I'm not saying about sometimes thoughtlessly perform customs, I'm not talking about. Okay. Doing namaskaram or lighting the lamp, going to the temple or doing any pradakshinam, or in offering naivedyam, okay, even having teertham, having shatari, etc. All these rituals or religious disciplines, customs, religious customs are important. In fact, the performance of rituals bring families together. And keep the family members of it. See, the performance of puja, ritual, keeps the members of one family together. It brings many families together. It brings the communal unity, supposed to bring the unity, bring unity in the community, in the society, because people always join together, respectfully they do things. Therefore, It is performance of ritual is for very important, is for one's own antakarana shuddhi, for one's own antakarana naishchalyam. It is one of the ways of associating oneself with Bhagavan, to have relationship with Bhagavan. So learning to having relationship with Bhagavan through the performance of worship ritual is in fact indirect way of learning to be by oneself later on. So preparation. Then it brings the joy of being together as a family or as a community, as a society. Okay. And second thing, and we, because of these rituals, we somehow we become effortlessly contribute us to the well-being of society. Thereby, we also live our lives in harmony with the universal order. This is the benefit of performing rituals. And understand all this in this context of understanding the seven tongues of the Agni Bhagavan. So, in flames of Agni Bhagavan, known as seven tongues. Okay, next mantra. Yeteshu yascharate bhrajamaneshu. Yeteshu yascharate bhrajamaneshu. Yatha kalam chahutayo hyadadayan. Yatha kalam chahutayo hyadadayan. Are you following? Okay. Yeteshu yascharate bhrajamaneshu. Yeteshu yascharate bhrajamaneshu. Yatha kalam chahutayo hyadadayan. Yatha kalam chahutayo hyadadayan. Tam nayantyeta suryasya rashmayaha. Tam nayantyeta suryasya rashmayaha. Tam nayantyeta suryasya rashmayaha. Yatra devanam patireko dhivasaha. Yatra devanam patireko dhivasaha. Yeteshu yascharate bhrajamaneshu. Yatha kalam chahutayo hyadadayan. Tam nayantyeta suryasya rashmayaha. Tam nayantyeta suryasya rashmayaha. Yatra devanam patireko dhivasaha. You must have correct break by exactly where I stop, okay? Then it'll be easy for you to chant correctly. Yeteshu yascharate bhrajamaneshu. Yatha kalam chahutayo hyadadayan. Yatha kalam chahutayo hyadadayan. Tannayantyeta suryasya rashmayaha. Tannayantyeta suryasya rashmayaha. Yatra devanam patireko dhivasaha. Yatra devanam patireko dhivasaha. Okay. All simple chapters. Okay. The simple mantras. Simple section, simple mantras, all pertaining to aparavidya only. Okay, so here, what Upanishad says in this mantra, the benefit of the performance of ritual is mentioned in this verse. Okay, Upanishad mentions the benefit of the ritual. How the ritual, the performance, as a result of performing this ritual, all these oblations, how they contribute for his enjoyment of benefit. I mean, what is the benefit the rich performer is going to enjoy? That's also mentioned in this mantra. See, if a person lives strictly a life of karma yoga with the proper understanding of karma yoga, naturally the person becomes the performer of Panchamaha Yajnas. The person becomes the follower of Panchamaha Yajnas. And as the one who performs Panchamahayajnas, a karma yogi enjoys two types of benefits means he earns a follower of Panchamahayajnas earns two types of punyam two types of punyam. One is adrishtam punyam. Adrishtam means visible. Adrishtam means invisible. Adrishtam punyam. Adrishtam pavam also is there, but here we are talking only about punyam. Okay. I am talking about, see, because living a life of karma yoga, following panchamahayagnas, definitely will help a person earn only punyam, not the papam. Therefore, we are talking about it, the two types of punyam you have to understand here. So, the punyam is nothing but a result of the previously done action, okay, which result is adrishtam punyam, invisible punyam. One earns as a positive result of one's past action. And a person accumulates punyam in one's own account. The performer accumulates adrishtam punyam, the invisible result, in one's own account. It also a positive result. And this invisible punyam in terms of positive result accumulated in one's account will contribute for the enjoyment of desirable situations, pleasant situations, and favorable conditions. And who is the bestower of this adrishtam punyam? Of course, Bhagavan. Bhagavan in the form of natural laws, Bhagavan in the form of universal, natural, moral law and order alone is the karma phala data, bestower of the results of actions. Bhagavan alone adds punyam to the account of this performer of ritual, yajamanaha. See, when a karma is performed, naturally, performer must have sankalpa. So, what sankalpa means? What? A sankalpa means a specific punyam. Sankalpa is the punyam I want. The specific sankalpa is done for specific choice of punyam. Specific choice of the type of punyam. A specific choice of the type of punyam is ordained by, is determined by one's own sankalpa. Okay? The specific choice of type of punyam is determined by one's own sankalpa. One can earn punyam, one can earn punyam in order to have material wealth, material prosperity. It means the punyam is required for enjoyment of any prosperity while living in this world, and even to enjoy after the death. So, material prosperity required for enjoying in this life and also life after death. The material benefits a person can have as a result of performing rituals after death is that going to heaven, enjoying heavenly life. If a person enjoys a prosperous life in this life, here itself in this world, means that is punyam exhausts in this life. is material wealth. The person is able to go to higher lokas, enjoys heavenly pleasures, means it's also material wealth only, not spiritual wealth. Why material wealth? We're all subject to time. So, material prosperity, enjoyable in this life or living this life, and enjoyable after the death is the first benefit of performing rituals. Okay? So this is the benefit of living a life of worship. This is the one of the benefits of living a life of worship, living a life of karma yoga, or following panchamaha yajnas. One can earn adequate punyam to have material prosperity in this life and also after death in terms of going to higher lokas. Secondly, Shastram says, if a person has purushartha nischayaha, and a person is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, if he knows the value of knowledge, definitely, even though he wants material prosperity, still his ultimate goal becomes the spiritual well-being. Therefore, the same life of worship, the same life of following panchamahayagnas, the same life of karma yoga will bless him with the punyam, which can be translated into the benefit of having mental purifications and mental steadiness required for the attainment of knowledge. So performance of rituals, living of karma yoga, following panchamahayagnas will bless a person with spiritual material prosperity required for this life and life after death. The same life of panchamahayagnas can contribute for the accumulation of punyam required not only for material prosperity, but it also contribute for spiritual growth in terms of mental purification, mental steadiness required for the attainment of knowledge. Briefly, we can say mental refinement, cultured mind is the spiritual result, benefit of following panchamahayagnas. So, whichever benefit we choose, in keeping with our sankalpa, we will have the benefit. But now, why did I tell you all this story now? In this particular mantra which we are going to learn, Shastram discusses the benefit of performing the ritual. And the benefit of performing the ritual, benefit of living a life of panchamahayagnas, living a life of karma yoga, is in the form of material wealth. Material wealth, enjoyable in this world, ihaloke anubhuyamanam phalam, the material wealth enjoyable in this world and the material wealth enjoyable after the death is discussed in this verse. Means a person who has lived a clean life but still who has not attained the jnana, has lived a clean life of panchamahayagnas, performing rituals, worshipping Bhagavan. He lived a clean life of Dharma, but he has still not yet attained the Jnanam. But he has accumulated abundance of Punyam. As a result of that Punyam, the person will travel to, not physically, physical body will be left aside here. Still the person in subtle form will go to higher lokas, heaven. This is the benefit, okay? And who is the jiva who will go to higher lokas? How will he go? In what form will he go? What will be the benefit the person can enjoy? And how, what is the nature of the benefit, etc. We'll understand. I have not yet touched the mantra. I have only introduced this mantra. Okay. I'll unfold the meaning of this mantra in the next class. Yeteshu yascharate bhajamaneshu yatha kalancha hudayo hyadadayan tam nayanketa suryasya rashmayaha yatra devanam patireko divasaha. So don't forget next class. What I said today, be easy for you to know what, how, actually introduced. How and what material benefit a person can have after the death. If a person lives a worshipful life, we'll discuss in the next class. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.